I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our senior contributor. Lori Mack, senior producer. Jonathan McNichol, producer. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Faith.
And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. Okay, here's what happened, everybody. I was recently in a Mexican neighborhood, and I wandered into a Walgreens drugstore, and I spotted this bag of Lay's potato chips sitting on the stand. And Chris, I know you, we bought, yes. And so in the bag is printed in both English and Spanish. And it said Lay's, and then it said Limon. L-I-M-O-N, limon, okay. Which is lime. Yeah. And in fact, the bag, here it is. See this? It is green, lime-colored. These were, are, I say were because it is empty. These were lime potato chips, lime-flavored Lay's potato
with
chips.
Salt on them
clearly
too.
Sold in Latin countries. With salt, my sister is the one who talked to me, and she said, get those. I said, no, I'm really trying to stay off potato chips. She said, you have to try them. And so I did. And who knows? These are probably chemically created. I'm sure there's no actual lime in here.
But
they are so beyond delicious that I can't even tell you. The best thing. I was so insane over these. Now all I want to do is go into Latin grocery stores and buy
lime.
These potato chips. They're better than anything, honestly.
They have so many flavors now. That is one I haven't tried. I try to pride myself every time I walk through the grocery store. I'm like, oh, look, sriracha. Oh, look, bacon and cheddar. Yeah.
Now, why don't the other non-Spanish countries have these? Anyone who tried these
would say, I want,
going
can't
to,
eat just one.
You know, lime tortillas, you know, hint of lime,
right.
Cilantro tortillas. Yeah. This is
heaven.
So fantastic. L-I-M-O-N, limon. Lay's potato chips. There
empty
you go.
Bag.
Empty bag of Lay's potato chips.
Just perfectly flattened.
Yeah, look at like it was ironed.
It was like there were never any potato chips in it.
It's like a little page from a book.
Mm-hmm. I did think, as I was on my way to out of this neighborhood,
that maybe
I should have stopped. No, I should have stopped and gotten
like
six of these.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. All right. Here is our invitation. We will be there in force, I'll tell you, here on the show. Save the date. Thursday, June 19th. It is now less than a month away. You are invited to attend and be the top judge at the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze Martini Competition. CPTV will be there to film this time.
Very cool.
You taste at all the cocktail stations. And I keep saying that these are works of art in and of themselves.
They really are. Wait till you see people who are actually mixing the drinks.
Yeah.
At one station, someone was showing a movie.
Someone was showing a movie. And bacon roses.
And the roses were made out of actual bacon, and you could eat them, which we did. I mean, we had dry ice, all that smoke in the room.
The cocktail you actually poured through the ice sculpture and had the glass at the end, and it got chilled as it went down.
This is why CPTV
so cool.
is filming this thing. Okay, so when you come in the door, there are so many martini stations, and there are so many food stations. So you get to just walk around and sample and taste. People come with a whole gang. Some people rent cars and, all team up. And some people have designated drivers. We love that. This is a sellout experience, and we have the best DJ, and people dance all night, waiting for the voting. Then all of us go into the kitchen with the ballot box, and we start counting, and it is something. Because you see, little by little, this one's winning, this one's winning, this one's winning.
Neck and neck.
It is so exciting, and then everyone waits. And you come out and there are cheers. I mean, you should see it. It's unbelievable. It's like this a great concert venue. So to be a part of this, tickets are $65 each, of course, to benefit WNPR and CPTV. It is at the Riverview in Simsbury, Connecticut on Thursday, June 19th. Thursday is the start of the weekend as far as we're concerned. Just go online to ctmartini.org for tickets and information and be a voter. for the king or queen of the Connecticut Martini, and it's certainly the food schmooze. And this person, the winner, gets celebrated in Connecticut Magazine. So that is ctmartini.org for tickets and information. Cannot wait to see you there. And listen to this lineup of participants. Rizzuto's On 20, Tassane, Millwright's, Infinity Hall Bistro, Perk on Main, Firebox Restaurant, Eli's Restaurant Group, Lime Grill, Quench Cafe, Spice Catering, Bar Taco, Plan B, The Cocktail Chemist, Barcelona, J. Christian's, Matthews, The Double Tree, Max Burger, Bobby V's, Inn at Middletown, Sally Pepe, Apricots, Agave, Chamard Vineyards, Vinted, Pond House Cafe, Cuvée, Carbones, Esca, Luce, Rooftop 120, Jay Gilbert's, Peppercorns, Ken Z, on and on it goes. So we cannot wait. ctmartini.org. All right, let's get to, this is for gluten-free eaters. Now, this, as we know, because we've talked about this, and we're going to get to ramps, Chris. I'm dying to talk to you. This is the season for ramp picking and eating, and they are so delicious. Yum. What do we tell you about this? But this is great news for gluten-free eaters. Some people are doing it just because they generally feel better. Other people have the full-blown condition called celiacs and, you know, would be hospitalized practically from eating anything that is associated with wheat or barley or rye. So there's a huge crowd of people now who are eating gluten-free. And so this is great news because in downtown Brantford, near the Green, there's a restaurant called Home. And I guess somebody on staff is a gluten-free eater, and they have done a truly gluten-free, extensive menu. It's not like one or two things, as you see some places, which is very nice. But I mean a huge number of things. They have a gluten-free mac and cheese. They have gluten-free pastas. They have gluten-free bread, so rolls for no matter what sandwich kind of thing you want to do. They have a special gluten-free fryer for the French fries.
Sure.
So good for you, Jared Schulafond, at Home in Brantford, Connecticut. We just wanted to say that. So Fine Cooking Magazine's June-July issue has just arrived, and there are two stories I'm interested in. We're going to get to quinoa in a little bit, but the first one is about making a pesto from garlic scapes. Okay, so,
and that's
so
coming.
Let's describe what garlic scapes are.
Okay, so when the garlic plant comes up, at the top is where the flower starts forming, and the scape is actually this swirly thing, and at the end has the bud. So farmers, before it goes to flower, they snip it off, because what it does is it transfers the energy of the plant in from the flower into the bulb. So we snap that off, and of course, no one knew what to do with it. And then chefs started using these things. I mean, I remember in the beginning, people used to just give it to us restaurants for free. Because, you know, they had tons and
good
tons
old
of
days.
Yeah, tons and tons of them. So we started using them. We'd grill them. They have an amazing flavor and an amazing little snack.
I was trying to figure out how to describe this flavor because I love these. And you'll see them in markets. And don't be afraid. Some people already make the scape, garlic scape pesto, and you can buy it. I would say it's a cross between
like a mild
garlic,
onion, garlic, chive kind of, right?
Yeah, in the way that Meyer lemons
yes.
is a softer yeah. version of the traditional lemon that we all know. Okay, so garlic scapes.
And you're going to see them in farmer's markets as soon as, I mean, that's one of the first things you see in the farmer's markets.
Yeah, so you can make a pesto with these. You can just dice them up and sprinkle them on things.
We grill them and put them on top of a steak, and then you just, as you're cutting your steak, you cut the garlic scape with the grilled steak. Steak and you eat it. Oh,
that's
my God.
Great idea.
Heaven. Just a little olive oil and salt and pepper. Toss them and then grill them whole. And like I said, and then you just sort of top the steak with them. So it's like grilled onion rings, kind of like it's what it looks like to us, like charred onion rings. Oh,
now, if you're into gardens, whether it's flowers or vegetables, you might be saying, when? Because this season is late. We're 2 to 3 weeks behind, depending on where you live. So this is true for vegetables too. Mm-hmm. So even the peas have been late. So ramps These are up right now. So let's get into ramps.
And we were walking to this place. A friend of my restaurant called and said, "Hey, do you want some ramps? I have some, you know, and we never use them all, and I feel so bad." And I was like, "Oh, sure." And she called again, "Are you coming to get the ramps?" And I'm like, "Sure." And eventually I was like, "You know what? I'm just going to go up and grab a couple." What does she have? Like, you know, 10 or 15 little clumps of ramps. I'll go up, grab some, you know, and I have never in my life seen so many ramps. So we're walking through the woods and everything is still covered in the leaves from last year.
What town are we in?
We're in Canton, so right next to Simsbury. And we're walking through the woods and there's nothing up really yet, you know. Maybe some skunk cabbage in the wet areas and stuff is up already, but really nothing else. And then we walk over this little hill and all of a sudden it's just green for as far as you can see. And it's all ramps.
Now, I want to say that Chris took a picture of this. And I want to say, because we don't want to invade anybody's privacy. Yeah. So we're not going to say another word about about this location. No, seriously. Yeah. So we don't want to do that. But it is the most beautiful sight. The idea that somebody has access to this many ramps. We got to get into what ramps are for people who don't know them.
Yes, so, please do.
So, and we're going to tell you how to use them. But you can go to our site right now at WNPR.org and find not only all the recipes featured on the show, but find this photo of these ramps that are so amazing to see. This many.
She calls it the Valley of the Ramps.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what it really looks like.
What
it looks like this little valley
thing.
Of ramps.
Okay. So very quickly, we have about a minute to the break.
Real quick, they're wild leeks. Yeah. This is just a wild version of
the leaf is what comes up that you see. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like that sheared off leaf of a leek, you know, kind of like a tube. It looks more like what I would call a lamb's ear.
Like a flat leaf.
Yeah, it's kind of rounded on the top, but the flavor.
That flavor is like the mildest onion with a hint of garlic, is the
way I say
it.
Very much like the garlic scape.
Yeah, just a hint. And it's not just the flavor. The aroma, too, just knocks you out.
You can grill these. There's a little olive oil. Put them on the grill. Saute them. Put them on pasta.
Roast
them. You can put them in sandwiches. You can dice them. You can do so many things with them. And they are delicious. If you've never tried them, give them a try this season for the first time. And I bet you're going to want to put these on so many things. Just like with your other thing with the garlic scapes, you could do this with the ramps, right?
Totally.
Right on top of your steak.
Oh, yum.
Okay, I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make. We have Gail Gand on the show. We're going to talk about great things for lunch. Oh, these recipes, including how to make your very own spring rolls, which are so delicious, it's nuts. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, "Now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready
tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. How lucky am I to work with him. Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol, the greatest crew on earth. And WNPR's content director is the amazing Jim Cutie. We thank you first and foremost for listening. And here is a new invention. You know, Chris Didden of East Hartford, Connecticut, has been bringing in some Australian wines and you know, doing pretty well with them. And he said to me on the phone last night, we were talking, and he said, "You know, I have this thing that I've invented, and I'd like you to look at this and tell me what you think." So He drops it off, and what he's done, he said he was sitting on the beach with his wife, and she looked over at one of those Capri Sun pouches that people drink juice out of. It's like a kind of an oval pouch. And she said, they were having wine, and she said, why can't you, invent one of those for the wine? It would be so much easier. And he said, okay, I will. Well, look at this. He has done it. He has made this pouch. So this is called Spot Wine, and you can buy it, I think, in an 8-pack in the box,
perfect.
8 of these. Or you can buy these individually. At least these are just coming onto the market in our broadcast region.
That is so cool.
It has a straw, uninflated, because I've had each one.
Another empty package.
Flat. Each one comes with a glass of wine. So about 6 ounces of wine. And it's called Spot Wine because the idea is you pick your spot. And this is black with a sort of yellow lime circle on it. And this is apparently a patented straw. You can see when you put the black straw into the spout on the side, the straw naturally curves so you reach the bottom of the pouch. Or you can just drink it straight out of this little nozzle that's right here that's sticking up enough so that you can drink it without looking weird. And there you go.
Varietals?
So this one, to start with, is a white wine that is from California. So it is a mixture. He said he tried 108 combinations. He's put them in front of 32 focus groups, women.
Huh.
That's the market. So it's $27 for the 8-pack and around $4 for this glass. And unopened, these last, I guess he says, about 12 months. The 8-pack is equal to about 2 bottles.
Yeah,
so you'd
yeah.
be buying it at, $13, $14 a bottle. So the grapes are Colombard, Viognier, and Chardonnay. All
Very
California
cool.
grapes. Spot wine.
That's a great idea.
Good for you,
idea.
Chris. Neat thing.
Yeah.
He has some kind of patent on something. Yeah. And so I guess the
look for him on the beach this summer.
People. Yeah, and picnics, outdoor picnics and stuff. Chris, we wish you luck with that. There is nothing more that we love on this show than finding producers of things, whether it's items like this, whether it's an actual food, a sauce, whatever it might be. Wine, spirits, a device to use in the kitchen. Don't be afraid to contact us here on the Food Schmooze to let us know, because what makes me, and I know my pals here, want to get up in the morning is to just spread the word about something great that we find. So just contact us at WNPR.org, or you can always talk with us on Facebook. I talked about Fine Cooking, and they did a whole thing on my new favorite, well, we'll say grain, I guess, but it's quinoa. I am crazy about quinoa. I love the idea that there's as much protein because it's a complete protein, right?
Yeah. So I mean, one of the few grains that are.
It has a kind of nuttiness, but it's fairly neutral.
Yep.
I use it the way I think of pasta, which is a vehicle for whatever sauce I want to put on quinoa, and I do. So how about you? Have you gotten into it more?
I really like it. I like the chewiness of it. Okay. Here's what I don't know. I don't know how it ranks as far as carbs are concerned, and I am so super sensitive to carbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out how many carbs. Here's what we know about quinoa, besides that it tastes great. Fine Cooking did a little bit of a history, or a little bit of the biography of quinoa. And they said, if you live in the Andes, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Chile, this plant grows abundantly. It has been eaten continuously for 5,000 years. Yeah. In fact, in Incan, the word quinoa means mother grain. It is not actually a grain. And I always thought it was a grain.
Interesting.
It's not like wheat or barley or corn or rye,
okay,
which is seed and fruit. Quinoa is just a seed. So it's not a member of the grass family. And, that's where most other grains come from.
Yeah.
It's more closely related to beets, spinach, and even tumbleweeds.
Wow.
But in the culinary world, we all think of it
as a
grain, even though technically it's not.
It's even sold with
the
grains.
Tomatoes. It's like tomatoes being a fruit.
Yeah.
We don't think of it that way. We think of them as vegetables. So quinoa is gluten-free. Mm-hmm. It is a powerhouse of nutrition. It's called a super superfood. Now, by that they mean it's a complete protein. It contains all of the essential amino acids, a good source of minerals. If you were stuck on the island at sea, you would want
a big
bag of quinoa to wash up with you.
Yeah, because you could live on it.
Totally survive, you know. So,
and you said it best. It's so versatile. It's never ending what you can do with it, from salads to making pasta. We even make like a risotto kind of dish with it now, because it is so versatile.
Now, this, Chris, it's just so smart of you, because this is exactly what fine cooking did. They explained how to use quinoa and some mushrooms and make a risotto. And I've never thought of trying this. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought, because in a way it almost pops open when you boil it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, would that absorb liquid the way risotto rice does, kind of roly rice, let's say? Mm-hmm. And yes, it does.
Sure.
Let's talk about quinoa and mushroom risotto. This is in the June-July issue of Fine Cooking Magazine, the full recipe. But really what they've got is, you know, heating some butter in a sauté pan and then adding mushrooms and a little bit of salt. And you get those brown for a couple minutes. And then you throw in some scallions and garlic for another minute or so. They put in some snow peas. And then they boil the quinoa. They rinse it first. Chris and I don't do that, for about 2 minutes. And then you add wine and you cook that quinoa for about 30 seconds. And then you turn it down low and it cooks for about 15 minutes, the way you cook pasta.
Yeah.
And then you start stirring in the mushroom mixture with some more salt and pepper. And you add the mushrooms in and some cheese and parsley.
Yeah.
This quinoa acts, it absorbs just like, and you can make a very high protein risotto. Okay, Jonathan, what do we know about quinoa?
So 1 cup of cooked quinoa is 39 grams of carbs.
And
13% of your daily value.
13%. And how much protein?
8 grams.
Yeah, that's a lot.
16%.
Let's look and see how that compares to pasta, traditional pasta.
Okay, I'm going to make a guess. And I'm going to say it's going to be a good amount higher in the protein, but about the same in the carbs, because it is a carb.
All right. Well, Jonathan's looking this up right now.
Yeah, let's see how I did.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. 1 cup of cooked spaghetti, for instance.
Perfect.
Is 43 grams of carbs.
Whoa.
Wow. So, and how much was the quinoa?
36.
So, yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the protein's the same, 8 grams.
So I've been fooled.
Not technically, though.
Because it's a complete protein.
Yeah, so the amino acids is what makes it a superfood, right? So just because the protein is the same doesn't mean that you get the same amino acids in pasta that you do in quinoa. And that's what's important to your body. I mean, as far as like what your body needs to survive is those amino acids. So you're not going to get all the different amino acids in pasta like you do in quinoa.
Wow. Okay. So I'm still eating this grain. I don't care about the carbs. I just really, I like it. And I like it that it's a complete protein. And so I'm having it. I use
tonight,
it in burgers.
She's like, I'm having it right now.
I'm going to try this risotto.
Like in a vegetable burger.
Yeah. I'm going to try this risotto thing. We sprinkle it on salads.
Yes.
You know, and I have, sometimes I'll just feel like a pasta, but I thought I was having higher protein, I have to say. So instead of a traditional pasta, I would sometimes just boil up some quinoa and feel superior.
But remember, you are, though.
Superior.
You are superior because you're getting all the amino acids. And I think that's the stuff that we really have trouble with thinking about, is that in meat, there's all your amino acids that you need to survive, right? In grains, you only get – in beans, you only get some of those amino acids. Even though the protein might be the same, you're not getting the right mix of amino acids, so your body is still lacking in things. And when you eat quinoa, you get all of the things your body needs, all the amino acids your body needs to survive.
And the quinoa has twice as much dietary fiber too, so it's a different kind of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
That you're getting.
So it's easier to process.
Well, I can't wait to try this quinoa mushroom risotto that's in the most recent issue of Fine Cooking Magazine.
Well, you know what I'll do? When morels come up, I will make that with the fresh morels that are coming up in the area. We should be about a month away.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And rumor has it it's going to be a good year, but I hear that a lot every year.
Well,
this could be
so
the year.
So do they say why the mushroom hunters? Is there, what were
rain,
the conditions?
Like rain, like, you know, we've been having the rain. rain, so that's
traditional
good.
Spring rain, or have we gotten more rain than
we've
usually?
Gotten more, we've gotten rain. More rain. Yeah, we've gotten more rain. So now to make the morels pop, so we have the moisture in the woods.
We need heat.
We need now the, 75.
Good luck with that.
We've had a couple, glimpses.
Yes. Yes.
We need more than a glimpse now.
Yes, we need more than a glimpse to get the morels.
Right, the teaser. I call that the teaser. Okay. As promised, we're going to talk about Gail Gand, the great Gail Gand, I call her. She's done a new book called Lunch. Great idea to do this. For me, lunch can be a throwaway meal until it's the weekend, and then I'm really thinking about doing something kind of fun. And she's quite creative in terms of what she makes for lunch, and a lot of it actually you could make for dinner. So we get to that in a second. One of the recipes that we decided to try and put up on the website are Gail's version of spring rolls. These spring roll wrappers you can get in any Asian market and sometimes in major supermarkets. And they're rice flour. They're Vietnamese usually, often made in Saigon. So that means they can work, if you check carefully, for people who are gluten-free eaters or gluten-sensitive eaters. So, Chris, let's talk about chopping up lots of vegetables and then making a great dipping sauce and rolling them in this wrapper like it's a cigar.
Yeah, and it's real simple. I mean, she uses some great vegetables. So she starts with cucumber, which I love. So you cut those into little strips. And then she uses grated carrot, bib lettuce. And then for the protein, she uses a little bit of roasted chicken shredded. So a perfect use if you had chicken for dinner last night.
Really? You just need to make four rolls. You just need a cup of shredded chicken.
So just a little bit of chicken that's left over from last night and you're good to go. And then you take those vegetables with the chicken and you mix it with lime juice, soy sauce. We use tamari if you're gluten-free, right? That's the difference. And honey and a little bit of sesame oil. So that's like your main part of the filling. And then you do bean sprouts, Thai basil, and you can use regular basil if you can't find Thai basil. Thai basil has a little bit of different flavor, but not much. And fresh mint.
And you buy a jarred chili sauce, which
is what we do. Dipping sauce, yep. Very easy.
It's available in most grocery stores.
Yep. And then in the Asia market, you get these rice papers. I always say they look like little, if you remember the old 45 records, they look like little discs, record discs.
Maybe, remember the small dinner plate? Remember when the dinner plate was small? It's about that size.
Yeah, they're about 8 inches. And it's fun because you can go to the Asian stores and like the one we have in Hartford called Adong. They have them even like the LP size, what I call, like they're like 12 or 14 inches. So you can make really big ones of these.
And right near our New Haven studio, we have the Hong Kong supermarket. And so we just walk a half a block away.
Yeah.
And these rice wrappers, they're round, are so thin. They're almost transparent. And you just put them in a little warm water for a few seconds.
30 seconds.
Yeah, and then take them out. And do you dry them?
Well, this is the cool thing, and it takes practice, but this is the thing. You lay them out on a towel, so you don't have to technically dry them. You actually roll this on a kitchen towel. You don't want them to be totally dry when you roll, but that'll take a lot of that outside moisture on the outside of the roll away, and then you take your filling. So we take the mixed filling, right, the chicken vegetable filling, and you put a little bit of that on the rice paper, and then you put a little bit of bean sprout, your fresh herbs, and then you roll it up, and then fold in the sides and roll it like a cigar.
It is.
It's pretty easy.
And then you put it in the dipping sauce.
Oh.
And it is so delicious.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you're trying to get somebody to eat vegetables, this is the best way to do it. I mostly have had this with shrimp. Mm-hmm. And Chris, you were saying lobster. You've had it.
You know, at the restaurant, we do whatever's left over from the night before. Scallops, shrimp, chicken,
pork.
Chopped up, sure.
So anything that you want to chop up, you could put in the spring roll. If you want to go straight vegetarian, you could do that too. I once went into a restaurant called Montage in California, and I went every single day to the cafe at this hotel because they made a beautiful spring roll, just like the one we're talking about. And these are not hard to make. So we're going to talk with Gail Gand next about where this recipe of hers comes from. It couldn't be simpler. Shredded roast chicken. If you want to buy a rotisserie chicken and shred it up, go ahead. Some cucumber, carrot, bib lettuce, some bean sprouts. You probably got soy sauce in the house and sesame oil. Some lime juice, honey, the sheets of rice paper, and some basil leaves and fresh mint. You buy the chili sauce, red chili sauce, in the supermarket, and you are good to go. You've got a dipping sauce right there. You can serve it with anything else you want, or talk about the perfect lunch. I would love these for dinner.
Yeah, they're surprisingly light, actually. You know, you walk away, you don't feel overstuffed. They're perfect for lunch.
And
yeah.
So each of us had two, and they were good size.
I'm ready for these.
Yeah. So Gail Gand, who's joining us next, we're going to talk with her about those Thai rolls and baked kale chips.
Yum.
This is a sneaky way around potato chips. Yeah. Even my lime potato chips.
I bet you could do lime flavored kale chips.
Ooh. Okay. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Gail Gand is next. You can find the food, including her spring roll recipe, right now at WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. You can find wine, all kinds of recipes and cocktails. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
My house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and a cake. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas tree. Come on to my house, and a pomegranate too. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and a pear and love your hair. Ah, come on to my house,
I just do this. I just let that play till she says the hairline because it's that Midler. I mean, how is she the funniest person on earth? I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. Ah, I've been waiting for this, as we all have. Gail Gand is with us, and she has done a new cookbook. It's called Lunch, and we think this is a great idea. Lunch is often the overlooked meal, the one that you grab and go, except maybe on the weekends. It depends. This is an inspiring cookbook, I think. So, Gail Gand, welcome to the Food Schmooze.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all the compliments.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, baked kale chips. Let's start right off with this. Kale is now the amusing vegetable because everybody has it. I have to say, these baked kale chips are to die for. They're such a great cheat if you're somebody who likes potato chips.
They're great and crunchy, you know, and very, like, tactile. You get to pick them up. And even when you're making them, you sort of massage the olive oil into them so they get kind of shiny. A little bit of sea salt sprinkled over or kosher salt. And they're a great sort of crispy chip to travel with, you know, to just bring along with some cheese and cherry tomatoes for a nice lunch. Or you can put them in soup. You can use them as a condiment on things, or you can also kind of have them out on a table for a party. So they're a great addition to lunch.
And here we are. You have curly kale leaves and some extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper. Do you include the spine when you chop them up on the leaf, or do you take that out?
I actually pull the spine out, and sometimes I just do it with a scissors. I find is the easiest way. So you're just going to, you know, if you've got a thick spine, just cut a little bit of that off. Then go ahead and start your toss and start your quick bake. And it's a really fast, you have to kind of watch them while they're in the oven. Everyone's oven's a little different, but I find, you know, 5 minutes is enough to dry them out and crispen them up.
So, Gail, I was in a restaurant on the Lower East Side. It's getting good reviews, and burst out laughing because the menu said massaged kale.
I think kale benefits from massaging for some reason, you know, because it's got sort of that bumpy surface. whenever you're using it, you massage in stuff to get it into those little crannies, those little nooks that are in kale, unless you've got the flat leaf kind. But last year we planted a lot of dinosaur kale, which is kind of a bumpy leaf. So I think that's why massaging is a good idea.
I didn't know how many kinds of kale we have out there. I generally see about one kind in the supermarket. So interesting to know. And I know people like you absolutely love the dinosaur variety. So that's
we do. It's a nice big leaf, you know, without a lot of odd shapes to it. So it cooks evenly. But any kind is fine. You know, kale is just a sort of magic vegetable lately. When you dress it in dressing, it doesn't wilt the way lettuces do. And it keeps for, you know, days and days in the fridge, and I just love these baked kale chips as sort of a way to get something crispy into your lunch without it being, you know, a carbohydrate or a starch.
For people who have issues about fat in cream cheese and one thing or another, this is an herbed yogurt dip. And I know what leads you, besides a health issue, is does something taste good? So this is Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, lemon juice, scallions, some parsley, garlic, chives, dried dill, salt and pepper.
It's basically an herb garden suspended in some really light dairy so that you've got a nice healthy dip to bring with you, either to pack for lunch with jicama sticks or if you wanted to, you know, just have it at home with some wedges of tortilla or cucumber in it. And it goes great, almost like the way you might use blue cheese dressing, say with, I do have some chicken drumsticks in the book that have a chili sauce on them, kind of like buffalo wings, but drumstick size. So it's a nice cooling dip if you've got something spicy and hot to pair it with, but light, like you said, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, lemon juice for a little spark of acid, and it's blended in a food processor, so you actually lose that bumpy texture of the cottage cheese, but it ends up sort of thickening the whole thing.
So you have your traditional gazpacho recipe. And by the way, this is Gail Gand. Her book is called Lunch. And the idea, we know you probably don't have this cookbook yet, and you certainly can see it and the spring roll recipe from the book that we've posted online at WNPR.org. Just search the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze and you'll see it all. What we're trying to do, knowing you don't have the cookbook yet as you listen, is to give you ideas of flavor combinations so that if you see what you have in your shelf or in your refrigerator and you want to try things just as Gail does, or you might say to yourself, oh, that sounds good. Those recipes, I want to get my hands on those recipes and then go and get the book. That's what all this is always about. So,
well, you know, I was going to say when we were talking about the herb yogurt dip, you know, I give you a list of fresh and dried herbs that you can use, but feel free to look in your fridge and see, you know, oh, I've got some tarragon that I really need to use up, or, you know, geez, I just love the taste of cumin. Let me see if I can throw some of that in. So there's a flexibility to the recipes here, no doubt.
I love cumin, so I'm so glad you said
that. I don't know why lately. There's the cumin pita chips in the book, and that's part of why. I just love cumin.
Yeah, so I'm going to get to your watermelon gazpacho. I almost chose those cumin pita chips, and then I thought, Faith, stop with the cumin. It's on the show so much. So go ahead, tell me how you make yours.
You toss in cumin and then bake them in the oven to crispen them up. So they're great, you know, to dip in anything or just to eat by themselves.
So good.
You could pile chicken salad on top of them. I give a whole chicken salad recipe, and it's like how to roast a chicken, how to poach a chicken, and then here's these chicken salads that you can make with it. So they're a great base for almost anything in the book. That pea garlic dip, which I know you didn't mark off to talk about, but it is outstanding. It's like a hummus. Like how you make hummus with chickpeas, but made with green peas, frozen peas. You throw them in a food processor with garlic, mint, olive oil, salt and pepper, grind it up. It makes this bright green dip that's great with the cumin chips. You can also make like little hors d'oeuvres, like I do in the book, with a piece of smoked salmon or beef tenderloin on top, or just use it as a sandwich smear, like instead of mayo. Use this pea garlic dip as a way to, you know, as a condiment on a sandwich. It's absolutely delicious, but goes with the cumin chips too.
What a good idea for people who don't want to have dairy.
Yeah.
That's a great way to...
And it stays green for like 4 days. It's not like guacamole where it's brown the next day and you have to, you know, see if anyone's watching you as you skim off the brown and eat it, even though, it tastes good. It just doesn't look good. This stays green forever.
It might not seem that watermelons are coming our way at this point, but they are, I promise you. And as we get into that season, please keep this in mind because this is Gail Gand's recipe for watermelon gazpacho.
It's a puree of watermelon cubes pineapple chunks, which kind of keeps everything. Again, I like a little bit of brightness or a little bit of acid in my flavors, so the pineapple is going to give it kind of a little bit of an acid bite. Some salt and pepper, some tarragon, and then I've got garnishes of other vegetables, so yellow tomato, red tomato, little cubes of fennel for a real crunch, some seedless cucumber as well, and green apple, so pretty colors. Would be great on a buffet, you know, for a lunch party.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. We get to the spring rolls that we just enjoyed from your book. These are your Thai summer rolls, you call them. And I know you have cooked in Thailand, but where did you discover this recipe?
I actually learned it in Chicago. There's a big music festival in Chicago called Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
And I usually work my farmer friend's smoothie booth. And right next to our smoothie booth was a Thai food booth, and she was making summer rolls to order like crazy, if you can imagine. I mean, Lollapalooza is tens of thousands of people every day, and this woman was behind her booth making them by hand, and I'm like, here, let me help you, because she was falling behind. So she taught me how to make them. Easiest thing in the world, and really fast. You know, the hardest thing is probably just shredding the carrots and, you know, getting all that fresh veg ready. You toss it in a dressing that you make right in the bowl and lay that inside some soaked rice paper. You soak the rice paper like 30 seconds and then put in your fillings, roll them up, and they keep overnight. So it makes a great thing you can pack in your lunch to bring to work the next day. They're great.
And how easy for this recipe to be gluten-free? Because the spring rolls are rice flour, correct?
Right, it's rice flour, and you just soak them in warm water for like 30 seconds and then pull them out and lay them down like a crepe and then fill, you know, put the filling down the center. We've got some roasted chicken that's been shredded, cucumber, peeled carrots that's shredded, grated as well, some lettuce, bean sprouts, and then a little bit of Thai basil if you can get it, and mint leaves if you can get it, and you roll that up.
So the Thai basil isn't completely necessary. We can use regular basil, correct?
You could use regular basil, or you could leave it out altogether, but it does give that sort of authentic Thai flavor that you learn to love as you taste all their, you know, special herbs and spices they use in Thailand.
I want to get to, it's one of my favorite things, a potato salad. And the second I saw that you'd done a recipe called loaded potato salad, I thought, oh, that, let me just see what this is. So potatoes, of course, bacon, scallions, garlic, sharp cheddar cheese, mayonnaise, sour cream, or you can use yogurt, fresh chives, salt, and pepper. Now, that list just sounds great.
It's like a loaded baked potato, but in a salad is sort of the idea. So, you know, potato salad that's been dressed up a little bit. So it's got sour cream or yogurt, chives, some cheese, scallions. Or, you know, it's a real summery kind of dish, I think.
This is Gail Gand, who I know generally as a baker, one of the greatest bakers, and she has done this, a book called Lunch. Is it because of your kids, Gail?
You know, it's two things. My family are all musicians, so they always work at night, and I'm a chef, so often are working at night. So to throw a dinner party for my family, I can't get them to show up. They're at sound check, they're at a gig. So I started having lunch parties because they could come over during the day, and we call dinner parties the daunting dinner party. Lunch is so great. It's light, it's fast, it's an hour and a half. People have places to go. They don't stay at your house too long.
Genius.
It's, you know, one glass of wine versus, you know, taking keys away from people because they overserved themselves. But also, I was part of Michelle Obama's Chefs Move to School initiative, where she asked chefs to mentor a school to improve school lunches.
Yeah.
And I did that at Deerfield High School in Deerfield, Illinois, near where I live, where my son was starting as a freshman, so I could spy on him. And I went into the schools, and I worked with the lunch lady to, you know, get the fryers turned off on Fridays, and I also used food to teach classes. So I taught French with food. I taught physics classes by doing recipes for meringues. I taught outdoor adventure classes. And then I also gave cooking demonstrations at the PTO to give parents ideas of things they can make for lunch to pack better lunches for their kids.
What were some of your ideas?
Well, you know, there's a recipe in there for the Copperwell noodles.
Yeah.
You saw that one. That was one. This is a sauce that you can make a big batch of, and the morning that you're packing your lunch, you just toss it with some cold pasta, some shredded chicken, even frozen edamame, which will keep the dish cold while it's, you know, coming up to temp while they have it in their hot little lunch boxes. So a nice noodle toss with high protein. It's got chicken and edamame. You can even use whole wheat pasta if you're looking to work some whole grains into your kids or your own lunches. So that was one of the dishes I would demonstrate, hand out the recipe, and try to get parents on board to not only pack better lunches for their kids, but for themselves, too.
And you got them to turn off the fryer on Fridays?
We had a fry-free Friday. It wasn't every Friday, unfortunately, but about every other month I could get the lunch lady to turn off the fryers, and we had a stir-fry bar instead of the baked potato bar that day.
And did the kids go for it?
Oh, yeah. They do. They totally respond to it. It's more sort of the old school staff that's used to, you know, how food's been the last 20 years, that it's the hardest on them because they just are kind of set in their ways. And they're afraid, you know, that the kids will not go for it. But the kids love it. They
that's
love
very
it.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. Chocolate pudding in a jar. I thought, let's get to dessert. You're so great with dessert. Heavy cream, salt, bittersweet chocolate that you chop up, some egg yolks, and sugar. It couldn't be simpler. And how does it come together? Because you serve it in those little mason jars.
Right. Well, you can, you know, put it in almost any container, but if you put it in a mason jar, you can throw a lid on it, and then it's portable if you're, you know, bringing a picnic with, or you're packing it, you know, in someone's lunch for them. Really, it's just cooked on the stove, so nothing fancy. You're just heating up the cream with a little bit of the salt. Once it's heated, add the chocolate, and the heat from the cream will melt that chopped chocolate. Then you're adding the yolks, whisking those in, and heating it one more time just to get the thickening power out of the yolks with the sugar, and then pouring it into your little whatever container you decide is what you're going to show off.
We're all rocking in our chairs.
I love the mason jar idea, like, because kids like that too, right?
It's one of the best chocolate puddings I've ever had. I actually served it. I was doing a welcome dinner for the president of China when Mayor Daley was in office in Chicago. Small dinner for 500 people. I was trying to do something Asian for the president of China, so I was doing like lychees and pineapple and ginger and all these sort of exotic, you know, what we think of as Eastern flavors. And at the last minute, they say, well, you know, Maggie Daley, Mayor Daley's wife, loves chocolate, so you got to have something chocolate. So this was the, I served this chocolate pudding with salted caramel sauce and little hot chocolate chip cookies.
Yum.
So that was the American
wow.
side of
and
the dish.
Did the Chinese president have the chocolate?
He tasted it. It was a very foreign sort of flavor for him. You know, they don't really even have dairy in China. So
yeah.
A lot of the, you know, my lexicon that I use is, you know, completely foreign textures and flavors. So I needed to sort of change my approach. But he did taste everything, and he bowed many, many times to me and said thank you.
That,
signed my chef coat.
He did. I was going to say,
very
what
cool.
pressure that is to prepare a meal for the president of another country using their menu, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if you're saying, let me show you what American food can be.
Right. No, I was, you know, you want them to feel comfortable and welcome. I mean, it was a welcome dinner in Chicago. And so we were trying to think of, you know, it's we don't want to alienate him. We want him to feel welcome. And there was a large, I think out of the 500, 125 people at the dinner were born in China or Chinese descent. And so it was the first large dinner I'd ever done where we could serve tea. Like, normally you just serve coffee, and tea is kind of an afterthought. I'm a tea drinker, so I was like, oh, great, can we have proper tea yet?
Oh, that's fun, and so you didn't have to do coffee.
We did coffee as well, but we got to do, like, loose tea, you know, done right. It was really nice for me.
Well, I can't wait to try your sparkling strawberry lime lemonade. That has just everything in it. It's so good. So lime and chopped strawberries, a little bit of sugar, lemon juice, and some chilled lime seltzer. That's good for grown-ups and kids alike.
It's fun to make these lemonades. They're so easy, and you can see it's, you know, there's five ingredients. But it brings together really fresh ingredients. It's so simple to make, but you can do some variations. And I used lime seltzer water to bring in the lime flavor versus, you know, having to squeeze a lot of them necessarily.
Well, Gail, you've gotten me excited about lunch, not just as an opportunity for itself, but the way you've started to use it as an entertainment spot instead of dinner all the time when people are really exhausted.
I'm totally doing it from now on.
Isn't this great?
Dinner's like expensive, and I always have to hire a sitter to be with my kids, but my kids pop down anyway. And with dinner, you have to be like the chef, the dishwasher, the server. Lunch is a little more casual.
You can put it on a paper plate.
Yeah, if you did a buffet, people would serve themselves. You know, I'm in the restaurant business. I have a restaurant, Spritzburger, in Chicago, and yeah. also opened True, my fancy pants fine dining restaurant, like 15 years ago. So I've done all that, and I feel like if you're going to entertain at home, it should really be enjoyable, and this is a way to make it easy and enjoyable.
I love that. Thank you so much, Gail.
Sure. Thank you so much
all right.
for having me.
Take care. See you
and
soon,
bye,
I
gang.
Hope. All right, bye-bye. Gail Gann's cookbook is called Lunch. And the Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9. Thank you, Chris Prosperi. Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime. Find the recipes that we talked about today, the food, products, restaurants, value wines, easy cocktails at WNPR.org. Just click on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze to find everything. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Come to mind.